T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're going to the Western Hotline right now, and we're joined by Darren Hackwood. Darren is Senior Director of Officiating for the Canadian Football League. Darren, it's Howard and Jeremy. Thanks for coming on with us this morning. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
So the NFL had their moment, Rams and Saints. Actually, you know what? Before I ask you your moment, were you watching that game?
I wasn't watching that game live. After our season ends, you know, turning on a football game doesn't go so well in my household. But it definitely follow through highlights and that sort of thing. So.
Did you when you saw it and you saw the big discussion? I bring it up because I remember I saw a number of articles where CFL players were saying, and some of them had played in the NFL and said, "You guys should do what we do."
Yeah, I mean, we've had pass interference challengeable for I think 5 or 6 seasons now, and it still comes down to, you know, our system's not perfect in the sense the coach still has to have a challenge, right? Yep. So if the coach burned all their challenges, that situation can still occur. But at least, at least we do have a challenge system in place to handle that situation.
What led to the CFL deciding to have challenges for pass interference? Was there a moment or a game like the NFL had with Rams Saints?
It was more than a moment for us. We were struggling with contact downfield. With regards to pass interference, but also illegal contact or defensive holding for you guys. And we really wanted to clean up what was happening downfield and open up the game, to a greater extent. So that was really the just behind it. You can obviously point to calls in the past that, would steer guys' direction on it. But really it was about opening up a clogged, defensive backfield. Our game was getting a bit stagnant. We wanted to increase offense, and that's really, really, really kind of where it came from.
I guess
when it first came.
With where the NFL is going, and this is one of the reasons why I wanted to get you on, because you guys have lived this and experienced it. I guess for me, what I'd be curious about is when it comes to the call and when it comes to the discussion about whether you're overturning. What is the standard? The call itself is such a subjective penalty. It's, I think, maybe the toughest call to make in football. It's so subjective. One guy could think that's contact enough for pass interference. The other guy could think it isn't. How did you figure out what to use as the standard to overturn with in the CFL or to let the play stand?
Yeah, so when we started, we were really trying to call it from the booth like we would on the field. So really get into the details of that pass interference or not. And, through the last several years here, we've come to a place where we're really just trying to guard against the big, big mistake. So when we talk about our replay officials, what they're thinking about or what they're trying to think about is, if you're watching the game with 5 buddies and all 5 of you or all 6 of you think it's pass interference, that's the type of call that we want to overturn. So we took a step back from, trying to get right in the weeds and getting trapped is what I use when you're looking at the same replay in slow motion 5 or 6 times. If you're having to do that, we're going to let the call in the field stand. And that's kind of the place we're at now.
What kind of growing pains did you guys go through? Is there anything if the NFL called and said, hey, listen, we're doing this whole pass interference challenge thing, are there any things you guys experienced that you would say, hey, heads up for this?
Yeah, we used to have the 2+3 coaches challenge numbers. So, if you get your first 2 right, you get a third. So we went through a period of time where we're getting, 4 challenges for pass interference a game. So that really, fans don't necessarily want that. Clogs up the game, slows it down. So we've reduced that. We're down to a 1+1 system now. So it's really about trying to find a way to limit those situations where you have to stop the game. In the CFL, we have the 3-minute warning. So after the 3-minute warning, if the game is, still in doubt, teams are throwing the ball down the field, on every play. So, the worry of having to stop it consistently in that situation is kind of what made us go with the coach's challenge system over the automatic through or something of that nature.
4 sounds like a lot. And the fact that the change prompted a change in the number of challenges. And when you say teams are throwing down the field every game, it hasn't exactly turned into just trolling for interference calls, has it?
So we went through a period of time where we call it fishing.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a game situation. Coaches want to win, right? So if there's any contact on the field, they got a challenge left.
So would you have – just
fish for a call.
Sorry to interrupt. Would you have routes designed and plays designed where you'd be trying to draw contact?
So you'd have – like, no coach would admit that to us, but I'm sure that's, part of what's going on. So when we backed it up and we're you know, at the point now where we're playing defense against the big mistake, that's gone down because our coaches – success rate on challenges has gone up. So when we first initiated it, we were at about a 30% success rate for a coach's challenge. So there was a fair amount of kind of fishing going on. We're about 50% now. So coaches are right more often. So, again, that's kind of the growing pain that we've gone through. You know, I think we're in a much better place today than we were back in 2014.
Have you looked at the numbers? Have the number of calls that have been made gone up or decreased and been impacted at all since you put the rule on the books?
So it did initially because, again, we were really focused on cleaning up what was happening downfield in our game, the clutching and grabbing and that sort of nature. So they went up significantly year one, and they've leveled off since that point. But that was a directive we had as a league to try to clean up the game downfield.
Okay. Because I was curious. I don't know. It's funny. It could affect it either way. I was thinking, if there's a rule in place, would an official say, be more likely to throw the flag and think pass interference because I've got the challenge system to clean it up? But you could look at it in the other direction. Maybe he's more prone to not throw it and say, if I miss the call, the other guy is going to challenge it and we'll get it done correctly through the review.
Yeah, exactly, right? You can look at it both ways.
Yeah.
I mean, we try our best with our officials. We want them calling, quality calls to standard. So we view a missed call as less of a mistake than a call that's made that's clearly incorrect. So we try to, that's being driven by keeping penalty numbers down to a respectable number. So that's basically the strategy we took.
So there's no booth stoppage at all with your rule. It's only a coach's challenge.
Only a coach's challenge. So we get the ugly two challenges on the same play once a year where, we'll rule incomplete pass, for example. A team will challenge the catch, and then the other team will challenge DPI. That happens to us once a year. We don't do any booth reviews, automatic booth reviews on pass interference.
Do you guys now you guys use a former player in the command center as part of the review process? What's the reasoning behind that, and do you think that's made any kind of a difference or made things better for you at all?
Yeah, we've been kind of experimenting with a couple different individuals in our replay booth. So we have a former player, we have current on-field referees, and then we have a few retired officials as well that work at that replay booth. In my opinion, having a former player in there sitting next to a current official or retired official is a good team. We have two positions. We have a replay official and a video official, and they kind of work as a team in there. So getting that player perspective on, looking at a catch, but at the same time having that, expert-level officiating knowledge in the room to make sure we don't go down a dark path is really good as well. So the team seems to work good for us.
The last thing I wanted to ask you about, Darren Hackwood with us from the CFL. The NFL is talking about making the Hail Mary exempt. What did you guys do when it came to the Hail Mary pass with all of these challenges and the pass interference rules?
Yeah, so we you can challenge pass interference on a Hail Mary. I don't think we've had, I can't remember a scenario where that actually occurred. It's obvious, a Hail Mary situation, you have a bit of jostling. We don't want to get involved in calling that, ticky-tacky stuff anyways, any time of the game, but specifically in that situation. So, but you can still challenge it. If there's a, clearly blatant call that we missed, then we'll call the penalty from the booth. Hmm.
Well, it sounds like it's worked out okay for you guys.
I guess the big question is, was it all worth it?
Yeah.
Well, I think, like I said, I think we're in a better spot. It's not perfect. We still grade probably about 5% of our replay decisions incorrect through the year last year, but we are able to fix a significant amount of incorrect calls on the field. So I think if you're looking at it from the perspective of trying to get more right, we're doing a good job along that path, and now we're just trying to find where the sweet spot is around stoppage of the play and tempo of game and where that really should be. So, it is now. I mean, it's been a fun 5 years or 6 years. I think we're in a better spot today than we were for sure in 2014.
Hey, Darren, one other thing I was curious about, did it lead to further discussions on other penalties or other ideas to now subject this to replay challenge? Because you guys do not you don't have a rule where it says every play is reviewable, right?
No, so we don't. We have seven penalties that you can challenge. The change we made for this upcoming season is we're automatically reviewing roughing the passer, which is a big change for us. We see it more as a conversation. So our referee has a headset, you know, similar to the NFL, where they're talking to the replay team from the field, and now that referee is going to be able to ask for help. You know, was that what contact high? Was the contact low?
Yep.
And the replay official is going to be able to help them out. And our hope is not to create, you know, stoppages every time the quarterback is touched, but just get those impactful misses, you know, when the referee's straight lined or that sort of thing. So yeah, for sure, it's we have a lot of replay. Roughing the kicker are both automatically reviewable now for this season.
All right. Well, Darren, thanks. Thanks for sharing the story of the CFL with us this morning. Appreciate you coming on the show today.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
You bet.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.